Well, let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now we're going to begin reading in verse 16. I'm going to share a message entitled Dangerous Decisions. We have to be careful about the decisions that we make. We can either enjoy the blessings of God or we can be moving away from the presence and the blessings of God in our life. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 16, says, "Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking for a king." So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. May we be able to learn some very practical principles in the life of Israel, in Samuel speaking to them the word of God, warning them, Lord, of the evil and the wickedness they had done because of a decision that they made. May we realize, Lord, that each day we make decisions in our lives, whether we're going to walk with God or whether we're not going to walk with the Lord. Each and every day, Lord, we make decisions about our life and the direction that we're going in. And I pray, Lord, that we might be sensitive to the prodding and moving of the Holy Spirit in our life this morning, that the decisions that we would make would be sincerely spiritual decisions that's guided by the Word of God and the conviction of the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this place today that's not saved, that they would come and receive Christ as their Savior. So bless us and speak to us. And we'll give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verse 24. It says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things that he hath done for you." And it's amazing that as you read through the passage here, Israel had made a decision that they wanted a king like all the other nations had a king. The problem was that God was their king. They were a theocracy, but now they wanted to become a monarchy and have a king over them like the other nations. And God was upset with Israel, and he would use Samuel to speak to them and warn them that his displeasure is hot upon them. It's interesting that it says in verse 17, "Is not the wheat harvest today?" I remember years ago, when I was younger, on my dad's farm and the farmers around that, I remember it was a very wet year in the spring. And so you usually combine wheat around the 1st of July. And it was raining so bad that they could not harvest the wheat. There was so much moisture in the wheat itself that literally the seed in the top of the wheat started germinating within the plant. And farmers lost a lot of money that year because of the fact that they could not harvest their wheat. And when I've read this verse, I'm like, well, I can understand that. God is getting ready to send thunder and rain. And when you're getting ready to harvest wheat, that's not the time you want thunder and rain to be coming on the crop. And so Samuel is speaking to him. The problem is that the world may seemingly get away with things that the decisions they make, that the Christian thinks that they can make the same decisions as the ungodly and not suffer the consequences. The nations around Israel had no problem with choosing kings to reign over them. But now Israel believes that they can go ahead and make that same type of a decision about wanting a king to reign over them. And God was displeased with that. The prophet Samuel confronts them with this decision. Notice he tells them, here's how you're going to know that God's upset with you. In verse 17 through 19, says, "Is not the wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for us, thy servants, unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king." And so Samuel's warning them of a sign that God was going to give them, that God would send rain and thunder upon their fields, and God responded exactly the way Samuel had warned them. As a result of it, they were stirred in the heart. They had great fear upon their heart because they realized that God has expressed his displeasure. You can't help but look at prophetic events and look at the changing in our times and things that are going on. I believe God is trying to get our attention. Just as he wanted to get the attention of Israel and sending the thunder and rain at the time of the harvest, I believe that God is trying to get our attention right now that we might listen to what he has to say, because he's trying to reveal to us that we have sinned a great sin before him, and we need to respond to him by making decisions that are dangerous decisions because of the fact that decisions that we are making are based upon a worldly philosophy and a worldly viewpoint. The other day, I did a lesson for our teachers in teacher orientation entitled Balancing Academic and Spiritual Growth. Now, really, Lord's laid on my heart to preach it here in church. I'm going to adjust it. That was solely in an academic setting, but I want to adjust that because we need to have a biblical worldview as believers. The decisions that we make as Christians need to be based on a biblical worldview and not on the trends that were within our society. And I really believe with all my heart, because of the fact we are continuing, and it seems very aggressively within the Church of Jesus Christ, to follow the example of the world in making decisions in light of how the world is living and conducting themselves, I'm afraid that God is trying to say, hey, you better pay attention to me, because I'm not happy with the decisions that you're making, and you're putting yourself in a danger zone of having my judgment and my wrath to come upon you rather than you enjoying my blessings. And so Samuel is warning Israel, you've made some bad choices here. God is not happy with that choice. Now you've got to live with that choice, and not only live with that choice, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that choice. So dangerous decisions, how we need to go to the Word of God and make decisions that are based upon the Bible and not based upon the trends in our world. So how do we want to deal with this? He deals with this in verse 20, 21, and 24. He deals with the concept of how we're supposed to respond. In verse 24 is our text verse, only fear the Lord. So when we start out with this concept, we have to deal with a total surrender. A total surrender. Verse 20, Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." And so it's renewing a decision to make a real life meaningful decisions where I'm totally, completely surrendered unto my God. There's no half-heartedness in this matter of living for Christ. And we are to totally surrender ourselves. And Israel got themselves into a mess. And Samuel saying, here's how you're going to have to deal with this. You need to completely surrender yourself unto the Lord. How do you do that? First of all, he says, fear not. Fear not, in verse 20, ye have done this, all thy wickedness. And the reason why he's telling them to fear not is because God has revealed himself to them, and now they have an opportunity to repent and get things right. I'm thankful that God's grace always enables us not to be fearful of God as far as being afraid to come to God, but to reverently respect God and know that when I confess my sins, he is faithful and just forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so he tells them, fear not. Why? Because he is wanting them to be reminded of God's protection. You know, way back in Genesis chapter 15, as God is speaking to Abraham, God reminds Abraham that he is the one who would protect him in all of his goings and all of his journeys in life. It says in Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I think the decisions that need to be made in the Christian's life is one of total surrender, of acknowledging that, wait a minute, if we have God not, we don't have God on our side, then we have no hope. We have no answers for life. And so we make decisions based on the fact that God is my shield, he is my exceeding great reward, and I surrender myself completely to the reality that I need Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't exist as an individual. Our homes cannot be powerful and strong as a family. Our nation cannot be strong if we try to live apart from who God is. And the problem in America is that we decided back in the 60s that we were going to remove God from every area of our social life and social being. And as a result of it, we have lost God's protection. And we say, well, wait a minute, that was a bad decision. What do we do now? Fear not, we can still fall on God and depend upon his protection in our life. And so Abraham was reminded of God's ability to protect him. But not only that, but fear not because of God's proving. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses reminds the children of Israel that God is the one who tries us and proves us and equips us for his task to accomplish. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19 says, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And in verse 20, Moses, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear not. Why? He says, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. I think there needs to be a refreshing of the reality that God, when you talk about total surrender to God, God has a proving process in our lives to equip us and enable us not to constantly be falling into sin, not to be making decisions that are going to defile ourselves. In Sunday school, we just did a lesson on that, in the cleansing of God, in the forgiveness of God, in the trials God takes us through, and all that God does in working in our life. And so there is the proving of God. You know, if you surrender to the Lord, you do not have to be fearful of God's trials he allows to come into your life. He allows those trials to come in for a purpose, to mold you into the image of the Son of God. And he reminds Israel that, wait a minute, God is the one who will prove you and try you. The amazing thing is we, as a people, absolutely do not want any difficulties in our life. We're living in what they call snowflake age, you know. We're living in an era where we have to have safe zones on college campuses and all these types of things because we don't want to deal with any problems. We want to deal with any difficulties. Don't make me feel bad. Don't offend me. And so here God comes along and he wants to grow us in grace. He wants to equip us for his service, and he allows trials and difficulties to come into our life. And right away we say, I don't want anything to do with a God that does that. I want everything perfect. I want everything clean. I want everything just the way I want it when I want it. And don't expect too much of me in the process. Well, listen, when we make decisions that are apart from God's word and away from God's purpose in our life, it will always bring us into a point of proving of God. God is going to try us and test us. And so Moses reminds the children of Israel, you don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to fear the trials of life because God has a plan and a purpose for you. Not only is God's protection and God's proving, but there's God's provision. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verse 6, Moses speaking to the children of Israel said, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so when we deal with decisions in our life, oftentimes we think, well, should I make a decision to take a stand on this immoral issue that is being embraced by society? Should I take a stand? If I take a stand on that, how are people going to respond? People will not accept me. People will be aggressive against me. Well, wait a minute. You don't need to be afraid of God to make that decision because the Lord is the one who will provide for you the protection that you need, provide for you in the proving of your life and your testimony, and he'll provide for you in this matter that he will never fail you. He'll never leave you. He is always with you. It does not matter what's going on. You don't need to be afraid of the loss of the presence of God. I am glad that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And so total surrender puts us in a posture of fearing not. I wonder what fear was gripping the heart of Israel when they felt it was necessary for them to look to a human being to be the king over them. I wonder what type of fear was gripping them as a people to think they had to respond and conduct themselves in a world in reference to how the wicked and the heathen was conducting themselves. My question is, what fear is overcoming the Christian in 2018? What fear is overcoming the Christian in 2018 that makes you feel that it is necessary for you to make decisions that are in line with and justified by a world that despises the God that saved you? See, fear. You don't need to fear anything. Fear not. So total surrender involves this matter of fearing not. In verse 20, it also involves turn not. Proverbs chapter 20, it says, Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done this wickedness. And he says, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Now, there's things you may do wrong in your life, and you need to get them right. But I can challenge you with this, that when those things happen, don't turn away from God. When a trial comes in your life and difficulties you have to overcome seem to consume you, don't you turn away from God. It's amazing to me that when everything seems to be going wrong because of the decisions that we make, that the first response is to blame God and run away from him. He didn't make the decision. You made the decision. So don't turn away from the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26 and 27, it says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Turn not away from the Lord. Total surrender means that you're not going to turn your back on God. And ponder the path of your feet. Oftentimes I've counseled with people and I try to give advice to people at different times. They're struggling with things and it's amazing. You give them the word of God and say, well, the Bible says this is how you ought to deal with that situation. And right away their response is, well, that'll never work. I'm going to start pointing them to verse 26. Why don't you look at the path you're on right now? Is it working what you're doing? What you're doing isn't working. So why can't you turn to God and trust the living God and say, wait a minute, I'm certainly going to be better off if I'm totally surrendered to the Lord and not turn away from him. And you can't accomplish anything by constantly running away from God. And so bad decisions, dangerous decisions in our lives involve this concept of fearing God and turning away from God. No, I don't need to fear the Lord to be afraid to come to him. I reverence him and I turn my life over to him completely because of the fact I have allowed sin to come in my life. I've allowed sin to guide my decisions that I make. And because of that, I can't turn to the right hand to the left. I need to remove my foot from the evil that is around me. Turn to God. That's where the answer is. America's need right now is for a great revival to take place, and that revival is the people of America turning back to the Lord, not turning to multiculturalism and not turning to ecumenism. It's turning to the God of heaven who sent his son in this world to die for us that we might have all of our sins cleansed and be delivered from that. We don't turn away from God, we turn to God. Dangerous decisions. Psalm 101, there is the total surrender not only involves fearing not and turning not, but it involves serving. In Psalm 101, in verse 1 through 3, it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. That's a good verse for us to learn because we sing unto the Lord. We don't sing unto each other. Somebody sings a solo up here, they're not singing to you. They're singing to the Lord. And I think sometimes we forget that, wait a minute, God has called us to sing praises unto him. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Verse 2, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So there is this matter of serving the Lord. I'll behave myself wisely. Instead of making dangerous decisions that line up with and are accepted within the world, I'm going to make decisions that are lined up with what the Word of God has to say. And I understand in order for me to accomplish that, then I'm going to have to be careful that I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eyes. Why? Because the work of those that are corrupt and the work of those that are wicked, I'm not even going to allow it to entice me, let alone cleave to me. And my, how Christians embrace that, what the wickedness of the world. And we wonder why there's no total surrender, and we wonder why we're making the bad decisions that we're making that just keep piling up more problems and more problems and more problems. And so we need to have a total surrender unto God. In verse 21 of our chapter, notice we need to focus on that which is profitable. Focus on that which is profitable. Israel's been warned, God's not happy with you. You've taken a king to be your king. You don't need to fear the Lord. You just need to turn and start serving the Lord. I heard a preacher the other day. I was listening to the radio, and he said that they have a requirement. You can't join their church unless you agree to do some type of ministry in the church. I was like, whoa. And it wasn't a fundamental independent Baptist either. I was like, wow, man, I can only imagine that. Well, okay, you're going to join our church. Well, you tell me which service you're going to do, what ministry you're going to do. You don't join the church and sit around and do nothing. I was like, wow, man, that guy sounds pretty good. I might get some of his sermons. Focus on that which is profitable. You know, Jesus said, what shall profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But listen, how much effort do we put into gaining what the world has to offer? I hear it constantly, all the time. My kids, you know, they're not going to come to the Christian school because, you know, they got the public school, these different things, they offer them so much more stuff. Okay. Well, you know, I can't come to Sunday school and I can't come to church because of we're involved in this thing and that thing that's out there in the world. Okay. You understand you're making dangerous decisions? What will it profit you? Let me ask you, what will it profit your kids? What will it profit you or profit your children if you should get every opportunity that the world has to offer to you and you die away from God, lost? What profit is it? Israel is directly aware of the fact that they've made a bad choice. But now they've got to deal with the choice they made. And so Samuel's trying to get them to start making decisions to correct the problem. And so focus on that which is profitable. Notice, first of all, need to establish a positive direction. In verse 21, it says in our text, and turn ye not aside. And so you need to establish a positive direction in your life. You cannot continue to do the same things that are getting bad, negative results and think that if you keep doing the same thing, that your results and the outcome is going to change. It's not going to change. You have to establish a positive direction. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. That's a positive direction. See, people of today, you say, well, you need to obey what God says. People say, well, that's legalism. That's not good for you. You know, they took 10 commandments out of the schools because of the fact they said this, kids may walk by, they might read the 10 commandments, and then they might start doing them. Well, that would be terrible for our society. If somebody read and said, thou shalt not commit adultery, and they understood what that meant, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. That would really be a horrible thing for our schools. I'll tell you right now, a positive redirecting of our schools would be worthwhile to put the Ten Commandments back in them. Oh, we have to have separation of church and state. That's why I'm going to do that lesson on balancing academics and spiritual growth. You can't have one without the other. And that's why we are in the mess that we are in, is because we have decided to go down a path that is not a positive path. And if we want to correct the situation, then we have to redirect our path that we are on. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Why? Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So I just want to have a good life. Well, there you go. It's pretty simple. People say, I can't understand the word of God. What's so hard? He said, obey my commands. It's going to add days to your life. You're going to enjoy peace. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Goes hand in hand, the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A focus on that which is positive is once again giving the Lord the rightful place. Where, wait a minute, I'm not just living to please man, I'm living to please God, and when my man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Need to establish a positive direction. Notice, not only is it establish a positive direction, but it's to ignore profane duties. In verse 21, it says, for then shalt ye go after vain things. What? If you turn aside, if you get away from God, you're going to be going after vain things. Read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 18 through 20. Habakkuk deals with this whole concept of idols and images that were made that can't speak, they can't move, they can't do anything for you. And why are you trusting in vain things? Ignore the profane duties that the world seems to impose upon us. I do not have to adhere to a corrupt society. I do not have to be consumed with going after everything that is turning and running away from God. If something is running away from God, I'm ignoring it. I don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because it will turn me away from my God, and I will not be able to maintain that which is profitable. So establish a positive direction. Ignore profane duties. Letter C is simply this. Engage in profitable decisions. And so it says in verse 21, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And so the reestablishing, the turning around is just simply saying this, that, wait a minute, I need to start making different decisions in my life. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 20, I like what Paul says and how he taught the believers. Acts 20, 20. He says, and I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I'm thankful God does not keep anything back from us that is profitable and good for us. He says, I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice the commitment that Paul has. I ought to preach a whole sermon on that verse. Notice the whole commitment of the Apostle Paul. He didn't hold back anything. Don't hold back anything from people. Don't hold things back from your children that are profitable and good. Show your children, teach your children. You start learning and you start making decisions that are profitable to your relationship with God. That's going to put your own feet on a path that's going to be victory and rather than defeat. Yeah, God, you must be engaged in profitable decisions. You can't keep making decisions. I'm going to put money on my credit card that you don't have money to pay the credit card and think one day you're going to get out of debt. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You have to start making sound decisions about how to deal with your finances. You don't have the money, make a decision, you're not buying anything. I tell you, for years, my wife and I didn't have any money. And I'll tell you, our big thing was just to take a ride down along the ocean. That was it. I had enough money to put a couple dollars worth of gas in the car. We'd go for a ride. And that was good. That was it. When I was in Bible college, different people told me, man, you were up there. You didn't go on the Great Lakes and you didn't do all this. And I felt like looking at them and saying, what in the world do you think I didn't have money to buy food. You think I'm going out buying bait to feed some fish? I didn't have money to buy a car that wasn't rusted out and burning oil. You think I'm going to go spend money to go out on a fishing boat? How stupid is that? We make bad decisions constantly, and then we wonder why life isn't working for us. Israel made some bad decisions when they made a bad decision to have a king over them, and Samuel saying this, you got to redirect your decision making. So focus on that which is profitable. Verse 22, understand God's faithfulness. In verse 22, he says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. And so understand God's faithfulness. First of all, it's based on the character of God. The character of God. God will not forsake his people. And I realize this morning, whatever sin you commit, whatever you're involved in, whatever happens in your life, you're still the child of God. I'm thankful that when he saved us, he secured us. And I'm thankful that once you become a child of God, you're adopted into the family of God. There's nothing you can do to lose that. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. There's a lot you can do that you won't enjoy it because of the decisions that you make. So the character of God. I understand the faithfulness, God's faithfulness. He is a God who has embraced me. I am his child. He secures me and he loves me. There's the conscience of God. It says here he would do this for his great name's sake. Do you realize what God does in your life is not so you can boast about how good you are? What God does in your life is for the purpose so you can boast about how great he is. What he does in our life is for his own name's sake. It's not for your name's sake. It's for his name's sake. And so we need to understand God's faithfulness and then the care of God. Because in verse 22, he says, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so there is a dangerous position or a dangerous decision we can make, as Israel did in choosing this king, that we think there is something that is more significant and more powerful and more enjoyable that we can go after and grab in this world, and we forgot the faithfulness of God. And God is saying, I want to bless you. You need to realize the blessings I'll send your way is not because of who you are, it's because of who I am. So cast your cares on me. I'll take care of you. And so dangerous decisions to turn our back on God. Total surrender, focus on that which is profitable. Understand God's faithfulness. And in verse 23, continue in active prayer. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, this is Samuel speaking, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. So it's a personal position. He said, as for me. You know, Joshua understood that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a personal decision. I realized years ago that I could not make decisions for people that I am preaching to. All I can do is be the messenger boy and say, thus saith the Lord, you have to make that decision. May I say this, young people, your parents can't make the decision for you. You're the one who has to make that decision. You have to decide whether you're going to serve God. You have to decide whether you're going to focus on something that is profitable. You're the one that has to determine, okay, well, I'm going to be a person of prayer. I'm going to talk to God about these things and see how God will come through for me. So it's a personal decision. Here's a great quote for you. No man is greater than his prayer life. So I want to be a great influence in the world. Then you better start being a prayer warrior. Because you can't accomplish anything without the Lord getting involved in your life. Israel thought they could get ahead by deciding to appoint a king. And God made it very clear, that king isn't going to do anything for you if my blessing is removed. So no man is greater than his prayer life. Here's another one for you. Prayer is not me getting God to do my will in heaven, but rather God getting me to do his will on the earth. And I think we need to stop praying the way we often pray, because most of the time our prayers are nothing more than demands to God to do what we think God ought to be doing. And I think our prayer life ought to be more about, well, God, what is it that you want to do through me? What is it you want to do with me? What do you want to do in spite of me? God, what is your will on this earth? We need to be people who continue active in our prayer life. And so Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So he says, as for me. The second thing is a practical proposition. He realized that he was sinning against the Lord in ceasing to pray for them. I think sometimes we forget about that. God has commanded us to pray. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. That's what James 4:17 says. People say, well, what is sin? Well, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not. It's a sin. Oh, so you're saying I'm a sinner because I didn't pray? Well, we know we're supposed to pray. We don't do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not is sin. How complicated do we have to make it? I mean, really, I am glad of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Practical proposition. I got to pray. You got to pray. We need to pray for our nation. We have no right to complain about the world we live in if we're not faithful to pray for the world that we live in. Practical proposition. Then there's a potential obligation. But I will teach you the good and the right way. And here's the potential. God says here's good and here's what's right. And I wanted to call it potential obligation is because if God tells us what's good and what is right, then we are obligated to respond to the information that we have. God does not leave us in the dark. He tells us this is just, this is righteous, this is holy, this is sinful, this is wicked, this is corrupt. God's very clear in establishing all of those principles. Once he does that, we're obligated to make a decision to follow the leading of God. And so Israel, he's revealing to Israel, you're wrong for appointing that king. You've made a very dangerous decision because your decision is jeopardizing the opportunity of enjoying God's blessing. So no wonder in verse 24, he concludes the matter with, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. So the plea is just simply this. Instead of constantly making dangerous decisions that are violating biblical principles and violating a biblical worldview, why don't we just be careful to start following the Lord completely, totally surrendering ourselves to him? That means there's no debate, there's no argument with God when you totally surrender. Why don't we focus on that which is profitable? Whatever it is that God is doing, that is what is profitable. Whatever what God wants to accomplish in your life, that is what is profitable. And then what happens, instead of the world influencing us and we living for something that's not profitable, when we live for the Lord, he enables us to live a life that is profitable to influence the world in which we live. If the heathen can take God out of our schools and out of our society, why can't the Christian put him back in? Amen. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't millions and millions of people who took God out of the schools. It wasn't millions and millions upon people who established transgenderism and all this. It wasn't multitudes and multitudes of people. It was less than 1% of our society. But we sit around as Christians and say, well, we can't do anything about it. No, we keep making decisions that are influenced by the world because we don't want to be singled out by the world. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And so focus on that which is profitable. Understand God's faithfulness. He's always faithful to us. And then continue in prayer. Get a hold of the throne of God. Make a difference in your life, your community. Make a difference in those that are around you because of the fact you start making decisions that line up with the God of heaven who loves us so. I'm glad God warned Israel. It's amazing their response. It's amazing how Samuel would guide them and direct them. They would deal with all kinds of issues that were bad decisions. They would suffer the consequences. But when they repented, God would bless them in a great way. And I believe God will do that for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. Dangerous decisions. One decision can alter the direction of our life for the rest of our lives. Help us, God, to be careful. Help us to be people of prayer so that we're pursuing God Almighty to ensure that we're making sound biblical principles and decisions. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I would pray there's someone here who's not saved. May they come. Greatest decision they'll ever make in their life is the surrender to Christ and be gloriously born again. So blessing this invitation, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.